Crabmere!
Kilt Lifter!
Oh, here we go. Oh, yeah. It's Friday. It's a beer Friday. And you have successfully driven the American economy forward. You are fighting inflation. You are the answer to drive down interest rates. You will rise above the masses. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever it is that you've decided to make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day, my family greatly appreciates it. My name is Doug Franz, and you have found the only podcast in the world totally devoted to the coverage of the four major sports franchises of one great American city, and also ASU, U of A, GCU, the WNBA, the IFL, and USL. This is Doug Franz Unplugged. Oh, yeah. Beer. Oh, yeah.
Crabmere!
I am just in an absolutely fantastic mood. Fantastic mood. Hopefully, if there's something that's stuck in your craw a little bit, somebody that you just can't forgive, something that's in the way today, today's my day to help pull it from you. There have been days where you as a member of the Unplugged Army have been there for me, where I have put forth a bunch of crap, where I have laid down a show that's just not acceptable, that's not at the standard I want it to be at, and you supported me, and you listened anyway. Well, today is the day that I grab you and I lift you up. I love the Field of Dreams game. Love it. And to see how great Johnny Bench sounded, the guy that I loved watching growing up as a kid, man, that was awesome. And the Griffies out there, I remember Senior out there playing right field at Riverfront Stadium. So this was just so magical to me. So I got jacked up about that. My daughter's moving into college tomorrow, and we went to the D-backs game together. Just daddy-daughter watching baseball. Just my dad used to take me to watch baseball. It's just, I got that going for me, and we've got football tonight. Cardinals and Bengals, and of course, it's going to drive me crazy that they're playing the Bengals because I'm going to see all the Skyline advertising, and I want some Skyline tonight. But today is a great day. Today is a great day. How are you? Let's roll, baby. Let's roll. And I can't control it today. I'm totally jacked up. Got a lot of stuff to talk about it. Let's start with the big one. It's time for me to hit you in the head with how I'm feeling about something. Let me be the only man in Maricopa County that's going to say this. If it costs Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges, the answer's no. We have to address this. The rumors are starting to fly like crazy that Kevin Durant is truly going to be able to force his way and become a Phoenix Sun. It's beginning to look a lot like, no, not Christmas, like KD is going to be a Sun. But you've got to decide on your own at what cost. I did the math. I worked on a lot of salaries and trying to make different trades work. One thing, it's easy. The Brooklyn Nets are going to want Jay Crowder. And you might say, well, of course, here, take him. Well, it's an expiring one-year contract with the fact that he's owed $10 million. So you need to pile on some high contracts. And that does help, but one-year jobs. But do you want to lose both him and Dario Saric? I don't love Dario Saric. I'm not a huge Saric fan, but Monty Williams is. But if you include those two contracts, those are nice, fat, expiring contracts that Brooklyn would be interested in. Yet, every time I look at the trade and I look at it with an unbiased view, when I look at it without my love of the Suns in the way, there's not enough there unless you're including both. If you include Cam Johnson or Mikal Bridges, it's just not enough. I can make the salaries work with a lot of people. I could trade Jay Crowder, Landry Shamet, Cam Payne, Cam Johnson, and Dario Saric. That works great. But I don't think they'd want Shamit's 4 years at 9.5 per. So, but they would probably do Saric. So Crowder, Saric, Payne, Cam Johnson, that works. Okay. But would they do it? No. Would you? I mean, if you're getting rid of Kevin Durant and I knock on your door and say, I'm going to give you Crowder and campaign Cam Johnson, Dario Saric, you're going to go, yes. Oh, here we go. And I know you're going to say, we'll pile on some draft picks. Are there really enough draft picks? You know, I mean, maybe add 4 first rounders to that deal. I still don't think it's enough. Except for this. If KD throws a bigger fit. And you have to ask yourself the question. If he's going to throw a bigger fit, do you want him? We can lie to ourselves all we want and say, yeah, but we've got Booker. We've got Chris Paul. We've got DeAndre Ayton. We've got Phoenix. We've got Old Town. Okay? We can talk about all we want to talk about how great we are. But at what point is it not about us? It's always about Kevin Durant. If San Francisco, no matter what you think, man, they've got problems. But there's a lot of positives about the city of San Francisco. And you're playing with a player's coach that has rings and Steve Kerr. You're playing with a workhorse defender like Draymond Green. You're playing with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. And you're not happy there? So you're totally positive he's going to be happy here when he wasn't happy there. And he wasn't happy in Brooklyn when he's got a Harden and Kyrie with him. And also playing for a great point guard as a head coach. Now you're going to come here and everything's going to be okay? Listen, it's okay with me. You want to trade for Kevin Durant? I'm with you. It does sound unbelievable to have a starting five of CP3 at the 1, Booker at the 2, Kevin Durant at the 3. I don't care if it's me at the 4 at that rate, but Torrey Craig and or Dario Saric, who's not involved in the trade, whichever one, at the 4, and DeAndre Ayton at the 5. That sounds unbelievable. That's a world championship team. You will finally get your Phoenix Suns championship. Sounds great. But who's playing defense? You just lost Mikal Bridges. Who's coming off the bench to be able to keep your starters on the bench that can grow a lead like Cam Johnson did last year? Who's doing it when you trade them both? The only way he gets here, in my opinion, with one of those guys, Bridges or Johnson, remaining a Sun, is if this becomes a holy war between Kevin Durant and the organization. And he starts torching our favorite son, Steve Nash, just flat out embarrassing him. If you start hearing reports of all these things Steve Nash once did in a huddle that didn't make sense, that's probably from the Kevin Durant camp. I don't want it to come to that. And I don't want a guy who's willing to do that. That's my thing. And I like Cam Johnson. I like Mikal Bridges. I want to win with what we've got. I want to win this way. Now, Kevin Durant's so good, I'll part with one, but not with 2. And I want this to end soon, okay? I want this to end soon. When we start camp in September, I want this talk to be over. I want Kevin Durant somewhere else because I don't want Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson going into the season walking on eggshells wondering, is today the day I'm no longer a Son? But they did have their chance and they didn't get it done. They did have their chance. And all the lessons we were supposed to learn from the 2-0 loss to Milwaukee, or up 2-0 loss to Milwaukee, obviously weren't learned when we're up 2-0 against Dallas and we did what we did. So I'm not sympathetically holding on to a team that learned its lesson but actually didn't. But there's going to be more growth with Bridges, isn't there? Look how much he's improved every year. There's going to be more growth from Cam Johnson, isn't there? Look how much he's improved every year. Let's not act like we already know where their ceiling is right now. I'm not saying they'll ever be Kevin Durant, but you're absolutely sure we're going to be able to play the defense and still have a good enough bench to win to get through an 82-game season and then win a world championship without those two. I'm not. Let's keep one. Coming up next, you'll get everything you've ever wanted in the Phoenix sports world in 4 minutes on Doug Franz Unplugged. It's 602-899-7000. Phone number for Ideal Home Loans. You might be in the market for a new home, okay? Call Ideal Home Loans. If you get yourself pre-approved and pre-qualified, I promise you it kind of bumps you up in the pecking order of what sellers are looking for when they're trying to decide who they're going to sell their home to. I also want you to choose Ideal Home Loans because first they listen, then they lend. How do I know that? I made up that phrase. I didn't just grab it out of thin air. I thought about it and came up with it after Ideal Home Loans helped us buy this home. We did a refinance with Ideal Home Loans. Loved every second of it because of the way that they listen, because of the way that they understand what you might be saying that you don't even understand yourself. And then they lead you where you are trying to go. They help you understand what is best for you based on what you say. When it comes time to buy a home, if that time is now for you, then the time is now to call Ideal Home Loans. If the time is coming up in 6 months, then call Ideal Home Loans today as well. 602-899-7000 or go to idealhomeloans.com.
Form an offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affects Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off in downtown Cincinnati. It's Skyline time. Football is back. The Arizona Cardinals kick off the 2022 preseason on the road against the Bengals. Kickoff is at 4:30 at world-famous Paycor Stadium. With Colt McCoy resting his arm and Cliff Kingsbury clearly feeling that Kyler Murray has already reached the pinnacle of the quarterback position and doesn't need any more reps, Trace McSorley will be the starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals.
Anytime you get out, you get a chance to go on the field, and show what you can do and perform and play the game is a huge opportunity. So I'm definitely excited about that. Excited for a lot of guys on this team. Be able to go out. We've had a great camp so far. Just be able to go out and now put it on the field against another team and show what we can do, show what we've been working on.
D-backs take 3 out of 4 from the Pittsburgh Pirates. Despite being down 3-0, they come back and win the game 9-3 behind Emmanuel Rivera, the newest member of the Diamondbacks, who they picked up at the trade deadline. He went 3-for-5, a solo home run to start the scoring, 2 doubles, and 3 RBIs. Dalton Varsho had a huge 3-run double in the 7th inning, but he wanted to talk about Rivera.
Rivera had a really good day today, and I think he really needs the acknowledgement of how well he did at the plate and helped us win this ballgame. I mean, we were kind of getting shut out there, and then he hit that homer for us early on in the game, and it just kind of sparked us as a team and just keep grinding everything out. So it was awesome.
Diamondbacks improved to 9 games under .500, and now they go to Colorado. D-backs Rockies tonight at 5:40. Zach Davies on the mound for the Diamondbacks. Meanwhile, down on the farm, Corbin Carroll is 9 of 11 in stolen base attempts at Reno. He's playing stellar outfield, and the buzz is he's coming up in September. The latest on a potential Kevin Durant trade seems to be heavily influenced by the people that are actually writing the article. Information that comes out of Phoenix says he's going to be a Sun. New information that comes out of Philadelphia says he wants to go to the 76ers. Boston media swears he's going to be a Celtic. New issues for the Phoenix Mercury. Skylar Diggins-Smith, who missed the previous game because of personal reasons, is now out for the season for those same reasons. The Mercury are currently in a 4-way tie for the final 2 playoff spots. They have 2 games remaining, both at home. Friday at 7, Sunday at 2. Risinger on the road. Kickoff tonight, 7 o'clock against Orange County. Must win because Orange County is the worst team in the conference. Bears head coach Matt Eberflus started his press conference without being prompted by a question and pointedly talked about linebacker Roquan Smith.
He was cleared by our medical staff as healthy, and he did not practice. The reason why for that is you have to ask him. We expect all of our healthy players to practice, and that was his decision. And like I said, you have to ask him.
Patriots lost by 2 last night in their first game of the preseason. After losing offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels to the Raiders head coaching job, the Patriots never named an offensive coordinator. It was confirmed during the game that former defensive coordinator Matt Patricia called the plays at the beginning of the game. When the Patriots switched quarterbacks, Joe Judge called the plays, who was the former special teams coach. In the strangest stat in NFL history, the Tennessee Titans lost to the Baltimore Ravens yesterday. Baltimore has now won 21
straight preseason games dating back to 2015. And finally, do you like those little drawings you get whenever you're trying to put something together? After an investigation, a report came out in Britain. Quote, as a result of this accident, the engine manufacturer has taken safety action to revise the information in the installation document to include a drawing to aid in the correct length of the bolt to be selected. What was the bolt holding in place? The plane's propeller.
Come on, this story is crazy. This story is crazy. The bolts were too small to hold the propeller on. Sound credits. I got the Trace McSorley that I played for you in there is from azcardinals.com and a press conference that he had this week. And then the Diamondback sound I got is from Bally Sports Arizona, and I'm going to be playing more Diamondbacks near the end of the show. And then the Eberflus sound that I got, that's the head coach of the Bears. I got that from ChicagoBears.com. And I told you this earlier in the week, I want Roquan Smith. I want him. Everybody can talk about going to get Kevin Durant. I want Roquan Smith. And I don't think he's just this disgruntled guy that it is showing some kind of immaturity or unprofessionalism. The Bears were the same. The Bears are the same organization that when they originally signed him, they tried to add weird clauses in the contract so they could pull all of his guaranteed money if he stubbed his toe. They've never acted like we're in this with you. And every negotiation he's ever had with them, he's been made to feel underhanded. So he wants out. He's sick of it. And I kind of get it. Now, I don't like the fact that he's not practicing. You signed a contract, practice. Okay? You're in a union, and the union agreed to that deal. So you're under contract, play. I don't like anybody who signs a contract, and then like Kevin Durant, and then decides, you know what, I don't like this anymore. Well, you made the money. You signed the deal. Got paid, now you don't like it. So I'm not a fan of that. But I understand why he can't stand being with the Bears. I totally get it. It's time for Steve Keim to rise up. It's time for Steve Keim to make this move. Totally time. You've got to do something special. You've got to shake things up. You've had a pillow fight camp. You've had all of this drama. You've had all of these distractions. And you don't have a solid defense on the field. And now you can fix it all by going to get that one guy. And you've got the one piece the Bears would be interested in. You've got a young, unproven middle linebacker that they can mold. They know he's not as good as Roquan Smith. They know that they're going to want draft picks. But at least you're giving them a starter to get through the time without Roquan Smith. Make that move, Steve Keim. Trade Zaven Collins and go get him. All right, that story, I got to tell you. That story is making me absolutely lucid. First of all, everybody's okay. Okay, everybody's okay. So a pilot takes off in a small plane that is from 1939. So imagine how much the plane was worth. I mean, I don't have any idea, but it's a flying object from 1939. And he built it like it's already made, but he built the plane too with some modern parts to be able to keep it flying. And in making it, there wasn't a diagram. This is their answer. Let's start drawing a diagram because the guy got bolts that were recommended, but they were too small. And the propeller flies off while he's in the air. I think we lost something. So now you're in a plane with no propeller. So he decides, I better go back. And he crash lands by hitting the runway too hard and sliding off the runway into a bush. But he's okay. He's okay. But I just can't believe in the actual report when he told the air traffic control tower, the propeller has departed the aircraft. That guy's a stud, I got to tell you. All right. Full disclosure, what's about to happen? I wrote these questions. All right, I'll just tell you. I wrote the questions, had the 18-year-old read the questions. Coming up next is a breakdown. for game one of the preseason, Cardinals-Bengals. But here's what I'd like to do from now on. I'd like you to write the questions, all right? For next week's breakdown, and every week after, every Friday, except for the Thursday night game, we will do a breakdown of the Arizona Cardinals game. But I want your questions or things that you want to declare about that game that night. So you can either record a video, tweet it to me at UnplugDoug. You can post something on Instagram. I'll grab it off of there. Twitter's a little easier for me. Or just email me your question and maybe I'll try to find, I'll get Jennifer to read it. Okay? But I want what you are wondering about from now on. So this is your beautiful part of the program to you be the driver next week and join me on the podcast by dropping me your recording so I can use it on Breakdown, which is next on Doug Franz Unplugged.
Break it all down.
It's a hard pregame look at the biggest questions facing the 2022 Arizona Cardinals as they enter preseason week one in Cincinnati. Cue the college girl.
What is the number one thing you're watching?
The cornerbacks. One of the worst quarterback rating against statistics in all of football was cornerback Marco Wilson. I believe in this young man. I think it was a good pick waiting until the fourth round to take him. He showed some promise last year, but you just can't be playing at the NFL level if you're allowing quarterbacks to have a 120 quarterback rating when they're throwing to the man you're responsible to cover. I want to see up close why I was wrong about Josh Jackson. He was a first-round pick out of Iowa. I loved him, and he has not played well in his NFL career. If he can't find a home here, where's he going to go? The head coach, Cliff Kingsbury, called out Christian Matthew in a good way, saying he's totally excited to see that young man play under the lights. That immediately makes someone like me excited to see him play under the lights.
What do you want to see from Zaven Collins?
I want to see if there's a green dot on the back of his helmet. That signifies he's the one that's getting the calls in from the defensive coordinator or whoever's on the field speaking the play into his ear. I want to see how he reacts to that play. I want to see how quickly players leave him and go straight to their positions because they know what they're doing because they understood what he said clearly enough. I want to see how he organizes the people around him. And then once the play begins, I want to see if he's still light on his feet, if he diagnoses what the play is and then explodes. Last year, all he did was think and then move slowly and then react poorly. He never really saw the game and had it slow down. I want to see, basically, can he be a true Mike linebacker in the NFL?
Who are you rooting for?
That one's easy. Eno Benjamin. When he first came to the Arizona Cardinals, the NFL game was just too fast for him. Not because he wasn't fast enough as a speed player, because his mind couldn't get his head around of how much there was to do. And he had to spend time thinking and less time doing. Whether he's prompted or not, head coach Cliff Kingsbury has brought up Eno Benjamin's name countless number of times. All this young man has done is work to keep himself on this team and now work to create an opportunity. With so many running backs gone over the last couple years, there's a major hole opened up as the backup running back. Eno believes he's ready to fill that hole, and so do I. Go Devils.
What's your number one season-long Cardinals concern you want to see rectified tonight?
Okay, I realize I'm asking too much to have it actually rectified in week one, but can I see some promise? Can I see some belief that this team can generate a pass rush? I realize there's going to be no J.J. Watt tonight. There's going to be no Marcus Golden tonight. And those are the number one and number two guys that are there to provide pass rush. But we should be able to see enough of a light from the other players that are out here because these are the backups. You can't rely on J.J. Watt and Marcus Golden on every snap. So what are we going to see is an interior push from Rashard Lawrence and Lecky Fotu. I'm not saying MyJ Sanders or Cameron Thomas are going to the Hall of Fame based on this game, but it's not like the Bengals are going to play their best offensive lineman. So therefore, if you're not getting a good push against the Bengals backups, how are you going to get a good push when you're going up against the Chiefs starters? So I want to see real life sacks from MyJ Sanders and not whiffs like he had a lot in college. I want to see Cameron Thomas being able to quickly get around people to see the speed that's been talked about. And I want to know why there are people within Cards Camp that have a secret affinity for Jesse Lucada. What can this young man truly do? This is a night to see it.
How long should Marco Wilson play?
I want at least the whole half, and I'm fine if he plays into the third quarter. Listen, I know I talked about this on the first question when we were talking about the number one thing that I'm watching in this game. It's the cornerback position, but it's specifically Marco Wilson. We're not talking about, I hope this young man does well, let's hug it out. I'm saying specifically because what the Cardinals have done. The Cardinals did nothing in this offseason that was worthwhile. The Arizona Cardinals have not made a significant move in 2 years. Now, I shouldn't say that. The draft with Marquise Brown, that was a significant move. But they haven't helped out this cornerback position since they seriously drafted Patrick Peterson. They have one guy, and that's Byron Murphy. And Marco Wilson is expected to be the starter. We're not talking about just the young guy learning. A starting corner in a team that thinks they're going back to the playoffs. We don't have time for him to learn in the regular season. He's got to get reps now. It's worth it to have the fear of injury that hangs over the head of every coach in the preseason and say, you know what, we've got to ignore it. Because if we try to protect this young man from injury, drop him on the Chiefs in week one and he's not ready, he's going to get torched anyway. He'll get his ankles broken by the receivers. So you know what? I would rather risk injury with him than play him when he's not ready. So put him out there now. Let him learn these lessons so he can get ready for the Chiefs.
Who has the most to lose tonight?
Josh Jackson. A lot of people thought he was a first-round pick coming out of Iowa. People already had reservations as the Packers didn't draft him until the middle of the second round. He played for Green Bay for 3 years. Then he was with the Giants and the Chiefs last year. And he was only a member of the practice squad for the Chiefs. Now he's a member of the Arizona Cardinals. He hasn't come anywhere near what everybody thought his draft potential was. Now he's a struggling cornerback on a team with the most wide open battle at cornerback. If you cannot make an impression on the coaching staff of the Arizona Cardinals, then you can't get a job in the NFL. This is basically Josh Jackson's career in the next three games, and it starts tonight. If he does not play well, he loses more than just about any player in the entire NFL because it will become official. He can't play. I think he can. I'm still going to believe in this young man, but he has more to lose than anybody on the field, Bengals players included.
Who has the most to gain?
Well, obviously Josh Jackson, because if he plays well, he can still prove that he's playing in the NFL. But I got another one for this one. Andy Isabella. Andy Isabella was a goner. It was a failed draft pick. It was the general manager saying he's better than DK Metcalf. Metcalf has a massive contract extension because the Seahawks knew they couldn't live without him. Andy Isabella couldn't find a trade. Nobody was even willing to give a seventh round pick for this guy. That's how low on the totem pole he was in the eyes of other NFL general managers. Yet, he's actually had an okay camp. I don't think anybody thought he had a chance of making this team at all. And I bet there's still some skeptical eyes, but he can start turning heads for real tonight. He started to have a couple people say, you know what, that's why we drafted him in the first place, but not in a way that was impressive, in a way that was frustrating. Like, why is it finally showing now before we cut him? But if he lights up the Bengals, then you're going to go, okay, we'll keep you for a week. And then if he does it again next weekend, it's finally time to start thinking maybe you can find a place for Andy Isabella. Just like Josh Jackson, what does he have to gain tonight? A job in the NFL.
He needs to put together three really solid preseason games. But so far, Andy Isabella has done enough in training camp to at least draw attention to a couple of the scouts, coaches, and the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. He can begin the saving of his career in this game.
Josh Jones needs to blank.
Begin the process of proving he's the starting right tackle for the 2023 Arizona Cardinals. They made a mistake last year. They moved him around a lot between guard and tackle. I realize he had the opportunity to stick. He had the opportunity to prove himself and possibly become a starter at guard where they needed him due to injuries elsewhere. The truth is, he is a tackle, and his job has always been to be a tackle. Yet, he needs to prove he's not just a good college offensive tackle. He needs to prove that he's a stand-up offensive tackle in the NFL. It's not going to happen overnight. Look at DJ Humphries, who never even stepped foot on the football field during a game his entire rookie season. So, of course, it's going to take some time for this young man as well. But I love the draft pick of Josh Jones. And this is the season where the team has said, you are the right tackle. Go ahead and work on it. Now, Kelvin Beachum's the starter. But that doesn't mean he has to be the starter all year. That position could be up for grabs if Josh Jones starts playing to his ability, understanding his role, and being able to work on the little things, being able to work on his hand placement, being able to work on a deuce block, being able to work on handing off a twist. These are the things that he's got to start doing as a pro and at a pro level, at a starter's level. I think he's a lot more than a third string tackle that bounces around the different organizations every preseason. He can start the rest of his life tonight.
Who might surprise?
Everyone in the Unplugged Army is a hard-working person. You don't have time to watch every training camp practice, and a lot of times you don't have access to it. So you probably haven't seen the show that Greg Dortch, the wide receiver, has been putting on in training camp. Well, now it's time to back it up. So when you say, who might surprise? Well, I don't think he's going to be a surprise to the coaches, but he could definitely be a surprise to you in the Unplugged Army. Because how often do you sit around talking about Greg Dortch? But Greg Dortch has done a lot of good things, but they've been in practice. Can he back it up in a game? And I'm not saying it counts, but in a game that counts for his evaluation. If he can do that, I think he can help save a potential major weakness, and that is the receiving core of the 2022 Arizona Cardinals. And that is your preseason week one breakdown.
Okay, I mentioned this briefly after the four-minute offense, but I want to spend a little bit more time on it before I get to Diamondbacks, and that is my desire for Roquan Smith. And if you didn't hear this, this is kind of strong, in which the Chicago Bears head coach, Eberflus is his name. I actually saw him play college football. Isn't that crazy? It started to make you feel old when you've actually watched a college football game of a guy that's now an NFL head coach. Well, he walks up to a podium and he's starting his press conference. Tough news for ASU fans. He announces the surgery for N'Keal Harry. Starts talking about other things. And then he still isn't done with his opening statement. So he hasn't been asked a question about Smith when that is the number one issue of Bears camp. He goes into it himself and doesn't even wait for a question. And when you say something this sternly without even a question, wow.
The Roquan Smith, you know, came off a PUP. He was cleared by our medical staff as healthy, and he did not practice. And the reason why for that is you have to ask him. So we expect all of our healthy players to practice, and that was his decision. And like I said, you have to ask him. I have not talked to him about it, so I have no further comment on that situation from there.
Man, they totally would make a deal. I mean, they don't want to empower Smith at all. I get that. But you give him a strong enough deal, he's out. I'm telling you, Zaven Collins and a couple of draft picks. And when N'Keal Harry hurt, the Cardinals might have a little bit of an advantage receiver-wise. So I'm not saying Andy Isabella is all that important. I know the Bears aren't sitting there going, boy, I wish we could get Andy Isabella. But you're going to have some extra receivers that you're going to be cutting. Just include them in the deal just so they can fight at Bears camp and see what they can get. And then obviously that's not going to say, oh, you don't have to give us draft picks anymore because you gave us Andy Isabella. No, but you're definitely going to be giving up, I would say, two first rounders. I'll give you Zaven Collins. I'd like to just keep it at one first rounder. How about Zaven Collins, Andy Isabella, and or Greg Dortch, maybe even and, but I think Greg Dortch is going to make the team and you're going to need him with D-Hop gone. And I'll include a first round pick and then I'll go conditional third that could rise even maybe to a second. I'll go conditional third. I think the Bears take that deal. And I got a great linebacker in Smith. Get that done, Steve Keim. Every day that goes by, you're failing when you don't get that done. Okay, this is disgusting, but tell me how I should have handled it. I didn't know how else to handle it, okay? Time of my life. Baseball game with my daughter. Going to the D-backs. And I full disclosure, I got lucky. And I couldn't believe they treated me like this. But there are every now and then, especially at day games, because there's not a lot of people that go to day games, the media relations department might be able to score you a ticket or two. So I was going to go to the game anyway as a credentialed member of the media, but I asked, hey, do you have any of the media tickets? I'd like to take McKenna and go to the game. Oh, sure, sure. You know, day game, they had a ticket for the media. So I got McKenna a ticket. Shockingly, they sat us behind home plate. Behind the dugout. Crazy. So that by sitting behind the dugout, I had access to the downstairs bathroom, which is really clean and really nice, but there's only two urinals and a toilet. So I go up to one of the urinals and I'm going to the bathroom. I have flip-flops on. Yeah, you know where it's going. Guy next to me goes up to the urinal. And it splashes. I could feel it splashing off of his urinal, hitting me in the foot. It's so gross. So, and I'm not a germaphobe in any way. Okay. In any way. I shake hands to this day. I don't care. No, I wash my hands, but I listen, suck it up. Okay. You drink orange juice and you drink beer, you can't get sick. So I now walk over to the sink. I wash my hands and then I take my foot out of my flip-flop and I put my foot in the sink. I didn't know I could do it either, honestly. And I'm now washing my foot and I wasn't going to say anything to the guy, but the guy says, you normally do that? And he thinks he's kind of being funny. Well, like on the one hand, I don't want to start something, but I'm not going to say what happened. So I said, it's the first time I've done it. I only do it when somebody pees on my foot. And then he didn't say a word. Like, he didn't even say, I'm sorry, but he was so flabbergasted. Like, I honestly think he was speechless. Like, I don't think he was trying to be a jerk by not saying anything. I kind of believed he was sorry, even though he didn't say it. But the guy, he just froze. There was nothing he could do nothing. That's all I can say about him. The guy. Now, I didn't sit and stare at him, like wait for him to say something. I just said it, didn't even look at him and walk out. But the guy literally was not moving. He was waiting for the sink, but I mean, he didn't like jump to the sink as soon as I went away from it. I grabbed the door handle, pulled the door open, walked out. The guy was still standing in the same spot. That's story number one from the baseball game. Story number two, versus Vegas is coming up in a second, and I have to admit, how unbelievably lucky I got getting that game right. I had a bad versus Vegas day yesterday, but that game saved me. JT Brubaker is one of the worst pitchers in baseball. I've been getting so many games right this year by picking whoever plays against JT Brubaker. And JT Brubaker totally outpitched Merrill Kelly. He gave up 2 runs. Merrill Kelly gave up 3. Merrill Kelly had 0 control in this game. And the Diamondbacks are down 3-0. And I've got the D-backs on the run line. -1.5. I thought this was the easiest game in the world. And now I'm down 3-0 thinking, what just happened? And Diamondbacks kill them. It was awesome. Diamondbacks win 9-3. Here's Torey Lovello with what he said in the open.
Yeah, it was part of the way we came back. And we fought on a day game after night game. Guys are probably walking in here a little cranky, a little tired. Looked like we were a little sluggish to start the game. I wasn't exactly pleased with what happened in that fourth inning. But we overcame that, and we were able to right our mistakes and get going and start to put up good at-bats and close the gap up a little bit. So, you know, I'll focus more on that. But obviously, there's a few things that we need to tighten up. But talking to you guys, you know, it was a solo home run by Rivera. It was a 2-run double by Rivera. It was just quality at-bats by him all day long that I thought were the key blows. Dalton Varsho breaks the game open with a long double off the center field wall. So, you know, those are great moments for us offensively. But the innings were built, and you know, to have some slug with runners in scoring position means that we're patient. I think we were taking some walks. Alcantara with a couple of really key base hits through the course of the day. It was just good middle of the field approaches, and when we're doing that, I think we're not one dimensional and we're tough to pitch to, and I think that's what creates some run scoring opportunities. Merrill today, you know, I think he probably got a little frustrated about what happened in the fourth inning. Pitch count climbed, and he managed to get through 5 and turn it over the bullpen. The bullpen was fantastic. I thought Kevin Ginkle getting that big double play ball was a key play in this game.
Okay, they won and they had a great comeback. All right, I am very happy. But this is another game where the D-backs just showed terrible baseball IQ at one point. You heard Torey mention I wasn't happy with what happened in the fourth inning. So there's runners on first and third, nobody out. And just a bloop base hit, you know, crap happens, bounces in front of Alec Thomas, all right? Runner on third scores easy. Runner on first is going to third. So Alec Thomas throws it to third, but he throws it right to Perdomo. So he's hitting the cutoff man, although Perdomo didn't do a great job of getting himself into position. Then Perdomo cuts it off because Allen, the guy that got the hit for the Pirates, rounded first way too far. So he cuts it off, and then with the runner standing right in between first and second, he uncorks a crazy, ridiculous, terrible throw into the dirt. I have no idea how Christian Walker caught it. It was an amazing scoop, but Christian Walker catches it, and then he starts running Allen towards second base. Then he throws it to Alcantara, and Alcantara takes it, and he starts running the runner back, and guess what? There's nobody at first. And as the runner starts going back to first, the runner on third now scores. So they get a run down, and they score a run. So yesterday, the Diamondbacks give up a run, runners on first and third. I shouldn't say yesterday, 2 days ago. They give up a run with runners on first and third. Guy on first steals second, stops, and gets caught in a run down on purpose. So the guy on third scores. And now you have another run down position. They still don't get the out at the plate, so they didn't learn from 2 days ago. And the guy who rounded first, Allen, and went too far, got back to first because no one replenished the spot and covered the back. I just don't get it. These are baseball fundamentals that you got to think things through. And the infield is a hot mess choking in these situations. But man, the offense was awesome. And they still won. Merrill Kelly was not awesome, which was cool because how many times has Merrill Kelly gone like 7 innings, given up 1 earned run, and didn't get a win because the team wasn't able to take advantage and they stunk offensively. In this game, he stunk and they found a way to make sure that he didn't get tagged with the loss.
Probably the biggest thing today was just command. I wasn't really able to throw the ball where I wanted to. Changeup wasn't great. Fastball location wasn't great. Pretty much really everything. It was kind of one of those days that you're just trying to survive, trying to make the big pitches when you need to get ground balls, get an out really any way I could.
The offense just seemed dead. The offense seemed dead. So it was huge in the fourth inning. Rivera led off with a solo homer. I mean, a rocket to left center. And then when Rojas drew a walk, it just kind of felt like, okay, we're down 3-1 now, but everything's okay. We're starting to see the ball. We're starting to do all right. And then Carson Kelly, in that same inning, hit a two-out RBI single. So you get a leadoff homer and a walk, and you're feeling like this is a big inning, and then all of a sudden there are two outs, and you feel like, oh, no, we're going to let everybody down. And you get that huge RBI single from Kelly. And now it's 3-2. And it's no longer, oh, we're going to lose to the terrible Pirates. You just start feeling a lot better. And then they exploded for a 7-run seventh. And that had a lot to do with an RBI double from Rivera. Rivera went 3-for-5. Two doubles and a solo shot. And with the bases loaded, it was kind of weird. Dalton Varsho hit a 3-run double, and it's the longest base hit in the StatCast era that wasn't a home run. How about that weird stat? StatCast started about 7-8 years ago, something like that, that's able to mathematically and computerize, have the trajectory of every single base hit. And in formulating the distance of that base hit, it's the longest hit baseball has had that wasn't a home run. Now, that's obviously like in the StatCast era. Like the Polo Grounds where the New York Giants used to play, I think was 455 to dead center field. The famous little notch where Willie Mays made the catch in the 54 World Series. I don't know if you ever heard that story. Gosh, I can't remember the pitcher's name. Ah, I feel terrible. But a pitcher's in the game pitching to Vic Wertz, okay? So Vic Wertz on the day, I forget what he was at the moment of that at bat, but he finished 4-for-5 with like a homer and two doubles, okay? Vic Wertz was not only a good ball player, but he's raking in that game, and he ends up 4-for-5 for the game. And he hits a rocket to dead center field over Willie Mays' head. Willie Mays makes what is considered to be the greatest catch of all time. Now, athletically, there might have been better catches in the game's history, but they're like in April or May. I mean, game one of a World Series and you make that, okay, greatest catch of all time. Well, the manager comes out to take the reliever out of the game, and the reliever actually stays on the mound while the new reliever's coming in. And the reliever that gave up the long fly ball that was an out to Vic Wertz put the ball in the new reliever's hand and said, well, I got my man. It was like, seriously, a 452-foot out. And he says, I got my man. But this was, I think it registered 421, a 421-foot double for Dalton Varsho in the game. That was a fun game. Other than once I got over my anger about the fourth inning. And of course, my foot. It was a fun game. It's time for versus Bayard. Man, it's Friday. I feel like dancing, but I didn't earn it. Crappy day. Not only did I have a losing day, but we have to both admit I got lucky on the D-backs. Because I picked the D-backs to cover based on Merrill Kelly's domination of JT Brubaker. I totally got that 100% wrong and still got the game right. Diamondbacks -1.5 versus Pittsburgh. Diamondbacks win 9-3. Houston -2.5 versus Texas. Astros win 7-3. And that's the end of the winning. White Sox did it to me again. I'm done with the White Sox. I'm done. I give up on the White Sox. I had them on the money line this time. I didn't even take the run line. I thought, you're going to beat the Royals on the money line, aren't you? No. Royals won 5-3. I took Cubs and Reds in the over, thinking the humidity of Iowa would carry the ball out a little more. over under. The total was set at 8.5. I only got to 6. Cubs won 4-2. And I really butchered this one. I took Giants and New England to go under 33.5. And it's a low scoring game, 23-21, but that's 44 points. I mean, that's 11 over. I really blew that one. I know 33.5 is a low score, but I thought these offenses were terrible. I thought it was going to be like 13-10, something like that. So a bad day, bad day. Record is now 435-369. I know I'll be great once we have football, basketball, and hockey all going at the same time. But it's amazing to think that I was about 65, 70 games above 500 for a time, and that's slipping as I struggle in baseball. I'm getting frustrated. But here we go. Here's what I got this weekend. Football-wise, I like the Bengals. I'm sorry. I don't trust the Cardinals right now. They don't care about the preseason. And it's only 2.5-point spread. I got the Bengals minus 2.5 against the Cardinals. I like Detroit. I think Atlanta's awful. I don't know why. And Detroit's actually the underdog. I'm getting a 0.5 with Detroit. And Detroit's at home. And I don't think you want to lose on Hard Knocks. So I'm all over it. Detroit plus a 0.5 against Atlanta. And this one is only a temporary bet. I believe that the suspension of Deshaun Watson is going to come down today. And as you're listening, it might already have happened. But I think he's going to get suspended today. And it's going to be including the preseason. So I don't think he's going to play. But as my recording of this, he is scheduled to start in Jacksonville tonight for the Browns. So if it's kickoff and Deshaun Watson is starting, I'm taking the Browns minus the 1.5. And I think he's going to play quite a bit. Baseball-wise, I like Tampa Bay on the money line against Baltimore. Tampa Bay had an off day at home, and Baltimore flew in from Boston. Plus, I get the pitching matchup. I like that game a lot. Dodgers have a big run line to cover, minus 2.5 against the Royals. I like it anyway, and I'm sick of the Royals winning, even though I love Kansas City. I'm taking the Dodgers on the road, minus 2.5. And then Minnesota takes on the Angels, and I love the pitching matchup there. Sorry, Phoenix, for loving the pitching matchup at the Angels game. But I'm going to take the Twins, minus 1.5, because Mally, the red starter, is pitching for the Twins, and he's from SoCal, and he's pitching in Anaheim. So I like that game. So the quick recap of my games. I got football favorites in the Bengals and Cleveland covering 2.5 and 1.5, and the Lions as an underdog at just the hook. Baseball, I got two favorites, Dodgers run line 2.5, Twins run line 1.5, and I got Tampa Bay on the money line. That does it for this week here on Doug Franz Unplugged. Huge breakdown of the game, of tonight's game coming up on Monday. And the last thing, hug your wife. Hug your family. I've got a very weird situation. I'm taking the music down. I got a very weird juxtaposition going on this weekend, just to let you know. Kind of the beginning, the new beginning of my daughter's life, dropping her off in college. It's awesome, isn't it? She's a freshman. Here we go. Special time in our house. And yet, all the troubles I've had, we're closing in on a year since I got let go from the old show. All the troubles I've had in the last year, the fears I've had in the last year, my wife still loves me. She's healthy. My kids love me. They're healthy. And after we drop off my daughter, I'm going to be going to Mass to celebrate the life of Nicole Hazen. And it does make me think that Mike doesn't have his wife here on earth, and there are four boys missing mom. You know, I'm not trying to start your weekend on a downer. I'm trying to lift you up by saying, hug your family. We live in the greatest country in the history of the world. We got a lot to be thankful for. Be a great dad and a great husband this weekend. I'll see you Monday.